his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Children, you are dismissed. Friends, I would like to encourage you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin there in verse 22, and we're going to read all the way through chapter 6, verse 9. So it's an extended passage today, but I want us to read it so that we know what's there. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. I'm going to pick up in verse 21 because it's important for what came before it, but it's also important for where we're going. Verse 21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Reverence is an important word there. Its root is fear, and that becomes really important in our passage. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands, should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church, giving himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing with water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Allow me to make a quick comment here. The same root is used for reverence in verse 21 as is for respects here in verse 33. That's important because we're dealing with the root word that means fear. And we're going to talk about a healthy fear there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with goodwill as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he's a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them. Stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we are asking that we would not only hear the word, but that we would receive it so that we could be doers of it. And so we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you would energize this text in a way that's livable, so that when we leave this place today, we leave different than the way that we came, because we have encountered the living God who has made himself alive in us. And that changes things. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin our conversation in this text with two disciplines. The disciplines of submission and meditation expose us to the blessed God who fills up our relationships with his light. Remember, last week we talked about the fruit of the light, and the fruit of the light is his goodness, his righteousness, and his truth. So understand, we've been moving our way through Ephesians, we learned that the blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. That's Ephesians 1:3. So right at the beginning of Ephesians, we are told that we are going to learn about the blessed God who has blessed his people with every spiritual blessing. This is the trajectory. I've shared with you that blessing is the joy of making progress. So the joy of making progress in Ephesians, Paul defines that as being filled to the full measure of Jesus Christ. So how do we experience the joy of making progress? By being filled to the fullness of Jesus Christ. You see how this is all coming together? Now, when we get to Ephesians 5, he's talking about the joy of making progress by being filled to the fullness of Jesus Christ in relationships. And those relationships are the marriage relationship, it's the parenting relationship, and then it's the working relationship. Okay? And in those relationships, we're going to be exposing, remember last week, that we need a long and repeated exposure to the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the people of God. And when we expose ourselves consistently over time to those things, the will of God seems to get accomplished. So we take our focus off the will of God, and we submit ourselves to the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the people of God, and we find that his will happens. Okay? These disciplines of submission and meditation. Submission, Foster interprets defines submission as laying down our rights to control everything. Anybody got control issues? I have some control issues. And depending on what area of life you're looking at in your life, we all got some control issues. Submission is laying down our rights to control. This is really healthy in relationships, don't you know? However, submission without meditation can be really dangerous. Submission is laying down our rights to control, but meditation, I'm not talking about a meditation that empties us, right? We empty. No, it's meditation in order to be filled. And so we're being filled, Paul would say, with the fullness of Christ. In other places, he would say, filled with the mind of Christ. So if we're going to submit our right to control, then we've also got to meditate on the way in which we can be filled with the mind of Christ, how we might be a benefit to those that are around us. So we're thinking, as Tozer would say, we're thinking the Lord's thoughts after him. These disciplines are really helpful for us in relationships. And the reason that I wanted to point out fear in the text is we generally have a negative view of fear, right? Fear holds us back. Fear captivates us. Fear is attached to being afraid, and so we might be afraid of harm. We might be, and that may come through the vehicle of people and what people then do. This is not the fear that is being addressed. This is a wisdom fear, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so when Paul writes this letter to the Ephesians, he says, submit, right? Lay down your rights to control, submit out of reverence or out of fear for the Lord, out of reverence for Christ or the fear of Christ. Well, this isn't a call for us to be afraid of Jesus and his judgment, that he's coming after us, but it's to be afraid that I would not embody the best that he has for us, right? That I'm afraid that I will not be filled to the fullness that he intends. This is a fear to not receive that which is best. This is something that we all practice, right? For us as fathers, that we do things for our children. Mothers, you do things for your children out of fear for them so that they would receive that which is best, right? So we might withhold something that might be harmful, but we might hold back something that might be good in order that they might receive that which is best. Have we done this as parents? We fear, and Paul's saying, submit control or submit your desire to control everything out of the fear that you trust that the best is in Christ and that he's the one that's filling us up. This is also helpful for us when we get to wives and husbands, is that Paul is encouraging the wives to fear for the best for their husbands. This is good news for us. Because otherwise, we read the text as hierarchical, and there may be those that disagree with me on this point, but I don't think the text is hierarchical. So that might be dangerous for me, and there could be all sorts of debates, and you can debate with me on that point at another time. But if we're going to submit out of the fear for that which is best, then wives are to submit to their husbands for their best. Well, that makes sense, is that they're submitting their control. So they're not controlling their husband. They're submitting so that two things would happen. So that they could receive the love that the husband is being encouraged to demonstrate. And then on their side, that they're fearing for their best. Right? They're longing for the best for their husbands. Well, this is really helpful then as we interpret the text. It's not as though wives are positioning themselves lower and then husbands are higher, but rather you have a situation that Paul is describing that wives are submitting control so that they could seek that which is best for their husbands. And husbands are loving their wives in such a way that would bring out their best. Yes? And so on one side, it challenges the husbands to not be selfish, and it challenges the wives to not be controlling. And this is where we get in all sorts of trouble, right? Because then we get in this, women are always this and men are always that, and come on, give it over. What we know is that Paul is addressing the human person. And as human people, we have these issues that we all have to address. But what's happening is we long to be filled up to the full measure of Christ. And this is the responsibility that we hold on to as both husbands and wives. So we're seeking the best for both. And this is the way that the blessed God works in marriage. That in marriage, there is a mutual desire to experience the blessed God, right? And the blessed God is the one who shows or demonstrates the joy of making progress. And the joy of making progress is together. And for Paul, the way that that looks is that husbands are loving wives so that husbands can fill their wives up with the love that they have received. and that wives are submitting to their husbands for their best interest. And you say, well, how did you get there? If you remember, we've talked a lot about historical background. This is something that you all love that I do. If you'll notice in the text, wives are mentioned first. Wives, submit to your husbands. It doesn't begin, husbands, love your wives. And you say, well, why? At this time, you know, because you've heard me say it multiple times, the goddess Artemis is the chief goddess of the city. Now, this changed powers back and forth because Artemis has a twin, her twin Apollo. And so you have followers of both in Artemis. They process around the city, depending on who's the primary power at the time. And Paul writes to these Ephesians, and he says to them that they were once children, nature, wrath. Right, so in their nature, they were wrathful children. And this is the way that you were raised in Ephesus. So if you were a follower of the goddess Artemis, then you were bringing wrath to the followers of Apollo. And so when they brought out the statue to process around the city, if you were a follower of Artemis, you got in line and you processed around the city. This is why the Greek word peripateo is one of the primary verbs in Ephesians. Right? There's a lot of walking that's happening because they're a processing city. If you were a follower of Apollo, they pull out the statue and you process around the city. If you're a follower, you join in the walk. And so Paul says that's not your walk. Your walk is in Christ. Wives are mentioned first in connection, I think, with Artemis, who's the primary goddess at the time. And when Artemis was in power, the women of the city were your power holders. Well, you can see why submission would be really important. If women hold the power, then they are going to do what they want, because in the city of Ephesus, it was about winning your side. So in Ephesus, you are children, nature, wrath. So in your nature, you're wrathful children. That's the way the Greek is laid out there. And so if it's Artemis, then you are at war or at odds. You are demonstrating wrath toward those who would be against you. And so you would subjugate all those that are around you, including men, including husbands. So Paul writes, and he says, wives, submit to your husbands. Receive the fullness of their love that Christ has for you. You can see how this would have been really transformative for them. They were releasing their need to control everything. And in doing so, they could receive being filled up to the full measure of Christ. And Paul says, allow that to be your husband. Kobe, you've said something to me that I've appreciated. And so, Karen, if you didn't know this, I'm sorry. I'm letting Kobe's secret out. But Kobe, you said something to me that when I pray to God, I say, God, I know you're going to bless Karen today, but would you use me? I think that's a powerful prayer. It gets at the heart of this blessed God in relationships. God, I know that you want to bless my wife today, but when you do, use me. That's a wonderful way. Guys, I'm sure all of you have similar things. I heard that from you, Kobe, and I think that's really powerful. God, I know you want to bless my wife today, but as you do, would you use me? Now, husbands, you're to meditate on how to love your wives, right? Love your wives as Christ loved the church. And so here there's a call to a sacrificial love that lays down your rights for the benefit of another. Right? So if a wife is going to lay down her rights to control, it doesn't mean that husbands, you pick up that control and take over. Right? That would be the way of Apollo. That's not the way of Christ. But if wives are going to submit their desire to control, husbands are going to sacrifice in order for the benefit of another. And this is where it gets really beautiful, don't you think? So you have wives that aren't trying to be controlling because that was the narrative, right? That may not be our narrative, but it was the narrative in Ephesus. And husbands are loving wives. And notice what Christ does here. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife. This comes out in Ephesians 2, where we're told that Christ is the head of the church. And what does Christ do? He wants to fill up his body. So what's happening? That the man, the husband, is to fill up his wife with the love that we see in Christ. That's great news for us. And guys, I will say to us, that's not easy. We need to get, so that I don't keep us here all afternoon, because the more I study Ephesians, the more I could talk about it, right? Is then we have the blessed God and family, and here we have children and parents. Children are encouraged to obey their parents. What's fascinating about these couple of verses is there's no root word for fear here. And when I was studying this with my Bible coach, it was really helpful for me to say, well, why not? When you see it in the Greek and you go, I see fear here, I see fear here, we're going to see it again with servants and masters. We go, well, why isn't it in the children and parents? If it were there, that would be so helpful. Then we go, I see it, I see it, I see it, I see it. It's not there. And we go, ah. So there's fear that comes before and fear that comes after. And then there's this conversation about parents with children. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Children, obey your parents as to the Lord or in the Lord. And fathers, don't exasperate them, but rather bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's really helpful for us to connect this call that Paul gives here to wisdom literature. We know clear back in early Ephesians that the people in Ephesus would seek wives' tales and myths, and they would call these things wisdom, right? The secret knowledge. Paul is saying, well, that's not what we're after here, but rather the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Well, what is that? That takes us back to the wisdom literature. And we know in the wisdom literature that with the beginning of wisdom is what? Fear of the Lord. And so here with children and parents, this relationship, the word for the root word for fear is not present in the text. And I think, this is my projection here, that in between slaves and masters and in between husbands and wives is this experience of the family, and it's there in the context of the family that the fear of the Lord is developed. So he's not saying, do this in fear, but rather this is the place in which the fear of the Lord is developed, right? This is where it rises up. And so children, obey your parents in the Lord. Parents, you are to instruct their obedience in a particular direction. What's the direction? In the fear of the Lord. So that's the place where the fear of the Lord is developed. So he's not saying, do this in fear, but rather, this is the place in which that fear is grown. And so we could say this is homegrown fear, right? This isn't being afraid, right? This isn't a wrathful fear that would be true of the Ephesians broadly, but this was a healthy fear that this is the blessedness that God has for us. The joy of making progress is found in learning to fear him. And so you can imagine that the wisdom texts were being taught in the homes, and Paul is encouraging this to happen. Children, obey so that you'll know what the fear of the Lord looks like. Parents, teach them how to obey. This is what the fear of the Lord looks like. And then when they live that, and here's the cool thing, he says that when children obey and parents teach, the blessing of God is made visible or it's exposed. And so we have now the blessed God demonstrating in the family the joy of making progress. Praise the Lord for that. And then we get to this last section, and this is the blessed God in work or in working relationships. And so you have in this servants and masters, and this relationship that is expressed here is one in which the goal is goodness. That's where Paul's going to land, is that servants do good, masters do good, and do it for each other. For servants, not just as eye service, so that when they're looking, they're pleased, but to do it as to the Lord, so that what you're doing, the good that you are bringing, is in terms of the God who is good. And masters, bring good, bring benefit to the servant, for the God who has demonstrated his goodness to you is not partial. Right? So both servants and masters, there's one who is good, and it's the blessed God. And if we live there, then we will seek to do good for one another, for God is not partial. So because I'm a master doesn't mean that I only receive good, but it means that the intent is that I bring good. For servants, that you are to demonstrate good in the work, because that which you do that brings good, the God who brings the goodness will certainly supply or carry that goodness forward. So we use terms like pay it forward. In these relationships, these working relationships, that's the best word. I think this would just be general relationships here. So when we're dealing with people, that we would be ones who desire to bring goodness. And as we bring goodness, that the blessed God is revealed, that this is the joy of making progress. This is what the blessed God intends. Let me finish up, friends. This fear of the Lord energizes the disciplines in us that reveal the blessed God in relationships. The fear of the Lord energizes the discipline. The fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom is not simply a matter of us willpowering our way to submission and meditation. But this text comes directly after knowing what the will of the Lord is. So in Ephesians 5, the first 20 verses is encouraging us that we're no longer children of darkness, right? We're no longer in our nature children of wrath, but rather we're children of light. And as children of light, the fruit of the light is exposed in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So this is what is being exposed in the people of God, who are being filled with the fullness of Christ. And in being filled with the fullness of Christ, they are revealing the joy of making progress in him. Well, how do we do that? It says, don't get drunk on wine. I think the word is a good translation, right? Because it's it's the end, but it's a long exposure. You heard me talk about this last week, right? It's a long exposure to that which would intoxicate. And so Paul says, don't have a long exposure to that which would intoxicate and make you mindless, but rather have a long and repeated exposure to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God, and the people of God. And in this way, you will discover that the will of God gets done. His goodness, his righteousness, and his truth. And then he's going to carry that conversation into this text, right? That in relationships, that the way that we discover the will of God in the midst of our relationships is by submitting and meditating with the Spirit of God, in the Word of God, and among the people of God. These help us to embody and expose, because we're children of light, expose the goodness and the righteousness and the truth that the only way to make progress, the only way to live the blessed life, is by being filled to the fullness of Jesus Christ. Friends, that's our testimony. And that's where Paul's been taking us. So when we talk about this letter being a practical one that's got theological roots, it does. Do we really believe that the path forward is the fullness of Christ? That is the joy of making progress. And if we do, we got to stake our lives on it. Or the Greek word, we've got to peripateo. We've got to walk in Christ. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I thank you that we're walking in this text. That's quite literally, I feel like what I'm trying to do is just walk in this text. Lord, I ask that you would forgive the ways that I don't do that well. But Lord, I also would ask that your intent is not to come after us and to beat us up over our failures, but rather to call us back into the walk that you have for us. That we're children of light who walk out goodness and righteousness and truth, and we reveal just how blessed you are. That you are the blessed God who makes a way forward for your people. Father, we live in a time in which it seems as though we're being held back. But the book of Ephesians comes to us and says, walk. And so we keep walking. And so I pray for us this week that we would walk in the fullness of Christ. May we be disciplined in submitting ourselves to your Spirit, to your Word, and to your people. And may we meditate on the obedience that your Spirit calls us to, that agrees with the Word that would affirm it, and that we would walk alongside the people of God who would confirm that in our life. May it be so. And may you